Hey everyone, I'm Hattie O'Neill and this is Eerie. I'm recording this for a second time this evening because I'm having technical difficulties and I'm perturbed, but that's fine. Okay, so business first. If you listen to Eerie for any amount of time, you will notice that there are now ads at the beginning and the ending of each episode. I have decided to add these in the past week because I'm trying to find ways to make Eerie more profitable and make up for the money I spend hosting it on the server, and also the time that I spend doing research and recording versus time spent with my family. So I don't know if that means anything to anyone else, but sorry if you're annoyed, because I would at least like to cover the costs for, just the hosting, and any kind of subscription fees that I've had to, cover, basically. It's definitely more of a passion project for me and something that I enjoy doing, but, I'd like to say I did a little bit of something for it, or got a little something for it, so if it at least covers hosting fees, I'd be stoked. Okay, so beyond that, this week I am not going to do a film review with this episode. This story deals with a disappearance, and I don't want to mix lightheartedness or any kind of frivolous information with real stories that affect people on a daily basis. I don't feel like that would be not only not professional, but not necessarily, it would be very callous of me. So if I'm doing something more fun, like the Loch Ness Monster, or something to that regard, or a banshee, or fairies, or something that's more mythological or lighthearted, then I will continue to do movie reviews on those episodes. But on the episodes dealing with human tragedy and true crime or missing cases, I'm going to skip that, just so we're clear. Okay? Cool. So, that being said, I have another episode from the Great Smoky National Park, or Great Smoky Mountain National Forest Park, or I can't talk today. I'm sorry. Like I said, this is the second time I've recorded this today, so. Anywho, this is the story of Derek Joseph Wuking, who has been missing since March 17th, 2012. This case really hit home because Derek is my age. His birthday is just a few weeks before mine, literally. His birthday is May 13th, 1987. So yeah, that was very striking to me, because I could have been in his class if we lived in the same area, or I could have, you know, met him at college. Granted, we didn't go to the same college, but, you know, just, I think different things hit you in different ways, and his story really hit home, so, yeah. So, Derek was born to his parents, Tim and Sheila Luking, and Derek has two sisters, Kim and Cara. Their family lived in Northern Virginia throughout their childhood. I did not look further past that timeline because people deserve their privacy. So, Derek graduated from Johnson University, which was formerly Johnson Bible College in Knoxville, Tennessee, and worked as an orderly at Peninsula Behavioral Health in Louisville, Tennessee, after he graduated from college. Derek was known to be dependable, organized, prompt, quiet, and giving. He had volunteered overseas previously, was unable to find information about the time frame that that occurred in, but he clearly had a good heart to go out and help others, so yeah. He had two nicknames, one being Drock and the second one being DJ. He loved camping and was a big fan of the show Man vs. Wild, which features Bear Grylls going out into the wilderness and trying to see if he can survive with the bare minimum on him. I think usually he has like a knife and that's pretty much it. Maybe some paracord. I don't know. So this case begins on Thursday, March 15th, 2012. Ryan Molden, Derek's roommate, noticed that Derek's alarm clock was going off while he was getting ready to go to work and as he left out of their apartment to go to work. He thought it was a bit odd, but figured that he had either overslept or perhaps forgotten to turn it off for whatever reason. Maybe he was in a rush to get out of the door and just, you know, it slipped his mind to turn off the alarm. So Derek didn't show up for work that day. His work then tried to contact him, and his phone was not answered. So at this point, a coworker of Derek's and a mutual friend of both Derek and Ryan's decided to reach out to Ryan and inquire after Derek. Was he sick? Was everything okay? Because he didn't show up for work and everyone was concerned. That's when Ryan knew that something was very wrong, because Derek was always prompt and courteous and, you know, would not have just not shown up to work. So upon getting this information, Ryan decided to call Derek's parents to let them know that something was amiss. All calls to Derek's phone went unanswered that day. I couldn't find anything specifically saying if people continue trying to call him Friday or Saturday. So I imagine they would have. I would have been calling my kid nonstop if I thought something was wrong and they weren't answering the phone. Like, I feel like that's a natural instinct, so yeah. Either way, he didn't answer his phone. Okay, so Derek's parents drove through the night and arrived in Tennessee on Friday, March 16th, 2012. Upon arriving at his apartment, his parents checked his computer and found searches for the Great Smoky National Park. And I believe they also found reservations for him to stay at different places. I know for sure that they at least found the reservation at the Microtel Inn and Suites in Cherokee, North Carolina. I kind of think that they also found his other reservations for the days before that. But the most relevant one at this point would have been the one in Cherokee, North Carolina, because that's somewhere they could get to, that he should still be there by the time they get there, essentially. So upon finding this information, his parents made their way to Cherokee, North Carolina, and, you know, headed straight for the Microtel and in Suites to find Derek and find out what the heck was going on. So his family was en route to find him before he was technically declared missing, or even got to the Smoky Mountain National Park. So I feel like that's pretty good. I feel like a lot of cases people don't notice that some, like, you know, young adults, they don't notice that they're missing for like a day or two if they aren't like in the same town, if that makes sense. Like, you know, they'll call, and then if they don't hear anything after a day or so, they're gonna, like, inform the authorities if they're, you know, contact remains unanswered, but I feel like they did an impressive job of trying to look for their son and were like on it. So it was determined that Derek spent over $1,000 on gear at Bass Pro Shops, Coleman, and Knife Works. There was also an undetermined amount of money that would have been spent at Walmart that had been paid with cash. He had spent the night at Motel 6 on March 14th. He slept at the Smoke Mount Campground on March 15th, and then at the Microtel Inn and Suites in Cherokee, North Carolina on March 16th. He was then seen on CCTV footage leaving the hotel room at 4 a.m. the morning of Saturday, March 17th, 2012. This CCTV footage is technically the last time anyone has confirmed seeing Derek. So his family arrived at the Microtel Inn and Suites later that morning to find a Bible open on the bed and an empty liquor bottle on the floor. Step back for a second. I just need to say that as somebody who likes hiking, drinking before going out on the trail, even if it's hours before, is a terrible idea. I like to be well rested, fed, and hydrated if I'm going to go on some kind of an outdoor excursion. And drinking alcohol literally dehydrates your body. That's why you feel intoxicated. So that is a terrible idea. I don't know what led him to do that, but I find that incredibly concerning, just because that's like starting off in a bad place physically. Okay, so PSA over. That's all I've got about that. Okay, so luckily, somehow his parents were able to find his white Ford Escape at the Newfound Gap parking lot near the Tennessee and North Carolina border at 8:30 a.m. And, I mean, if you think about it, Derek would have arrived at this place between 4:20 and 4:30. So the fact that they're only 4 hours behind him is incredible, you know, to speak to the effort that they've put in and all the driving they've been doing. And I'm sure also is heartbreaking to them knowing that they were that close and they haven't seen him in 10 years at this point. So inside the Ford Escape, multiple items were found, including maps of the Great Smoky Mountain National Park, a sleeping bag, tent, a Gerber axe, part of a military survival manual, I believe there were like several pages ripped out, a knife sharpener, a Coleman compass / thermometer, 100 feet of paracord, a headlamp, pocket knife, granola bars, iPod Touch, which by the way, I do miss my iPod Touch, that was a wonderful gadget, and a Bear Grylls tool pack, which included a small flashlight, a fire starter, and a multi-tool. Unfortunately, within the vehicle, there was also a note that read, "Don't look for me," and they also located his wallet, cash, and truck key inside the vehicle. Obviously, his note was ignored, and an investigation began immediately. Rangers interviewed campers and hikers alike, trying to find anyone who had seen him arrive at the park that morning. This was quite astounding to them that only one person even thought they saw him, which turned out to be not the case. But no one had seen him, and it was an incredibly beautiful day, so there were tons and tons of people out, and no one saw him. So no one had seen him since that CCTV footage. Due to this, authorities believe that he may have gone off trail immediately after leaving his truck, and either became disoriented and lost, or was maybe intentionally avoiding people. They weren't really sure what to make of all of the different little clues that they've had at this point. So the Park Service asked the Lukien family not to search in the forest, and to let the professional searchers have a chance to look for him, so nobody would disturb the evidence. So as the search began, the Lukians handed out more than 3,000 flyers in an effort to locate Derek. Around 60 searchers and three dog teams were assigned to looking for Derek. They were broken into 14 groups and covered over 70 miles of trails the first 2 days. They looked for parts of the trail that would have been easy to go off from. Then they searched for clues, tracks, anything that indicated human movement off trail. Pardon me, sorry. They continued. Oh my goodness! Here, take a drink. Sorry. They continued looking into the woods off trail until it was either unsafe, or there was a barrier like a rhododendron thicket, or perhaps like a big rock wall that they couldn't scale, and they truly doubted that he could have scaled. So, during an interview, a park ranger stated, "We would have felt better if he had bought all this gear and brought it with him. In this case, he made all of the preparations but didn't follow through." Searchers have hiked hundreds of miles of trails in the weeks following his disappearance. Multiple dog scent trackers, three daytime helicopters, and one night helicopter were utilized in the effort to look for him. I believe there was even people who rappelled down a cliff face looking for him. So 175 miles of trail were hiked by family, friends, and concerned hikers on the days following the National Park Service's searchers with their permission. But sadly, no significant clues have ever been found in regard to Derek. So, months after his disappearance, a backpack and some human remains were found in the park near where Derek had disappeared. DNA testing would prove that the remains belonged to Michael Giovanni Coccini, or no, Cosini, I'm sorry, who went missing on March 18th, 2012. In an odd turn of events, park rangers had actually discovered Cosini's car while they were searching for Derek. The skull fragment that they had found was within a mile of Cosini's car. So I didn't look into his case, but I don't know. That just is crazy to me. So, yeah, okay. At the beginning of the year, his father, Tim, noticed changes in his son. Most notably, he had begun smoking and drinking, and this was considered very out of character for him. His father is quoted as saying he wasn't happy with his job or where his life was going. Tim thought that Derek was just struggling with the transition from college to the real world and adult life. Though he had notable changes in his personality, his family doesn't believe that he was suicidal. The note in the car wasn't addressed to anyone, so it could have been meant for the park rangers. Also notable, March 17th 2012 would have been the 1 year anniversary of his grandfather's passing. He and Derek had been incredibly close, so they don't know if perhaps that was playing on his mind that day, or perhaps what led him to drink some of that liquor. I thought it was kind of, I don't want to say coincidental because I don't really believe in coincidence, but my grandfather, that I'm very close to, passed away on March 15th. Some years after this, obviously, but just different little things kept popping up that made me feel closer, or like I could relate to Derek in certain ways, and it made me very sad. So, one theory is that he went out to check the trail and either became lost or was possibly attacked by a wild animal. the parking lot was 20 miles from his hotel, so it would have still been very dark when he arrived at the park. So, anyone who's not from the East Coast of the United States, 4 to 4:30 is still pitch blackout. Yeah, you aren't going to catch me outside at 4:20, 4:30 in the morning, because I don't have time for that in my life. Also, in case you are unfamiliar with the national park or the animals, the big animals of the East Coast, there are black bears, mountain lions, and also incredibly venomous snakes in the Smoky Mountain National Park. Obviously, a snake isn't responsible for his disappearance, because that's just madness. But he could have possibly run into a black bear or a mountain lion. And obviously, animals don't use human trails, so he could have been taken to a completely different location than any of the places that they were searching. If he had been attacked by an animal. There is a theory. Did he possibly decide he was going to try to make the trip more challenging, and, you know, emulate Bear Grylls in Man vs. Wild? Some have stated that with what he had, he could have survived for quite a while. I couldn't specifically find the items that he had on his person. In the articles or the various things I listened to regarding his missing persons case. So perhaps he could have, you know, done that. but his family has stated in different interviews that he wasn't like an outdoorsman, if that makes sense. Like, he enjoyed camping, but I think there's a significant difference between enjoying going camping and being an outdoorsman. Like, I like to hike. I enjoy camping. I'm not at all, by any stretch of the imagination, skilled in a way where I could survive in the wilderness. I feel like if you enjoy any of those things, you will know what I mean. Some people take it to that level. I just like to casually hike or casually camp. yeah. There is also another theory that he could have possibly met with foul play. It's a bit odd that two grown men went missing in the same exact area within 24 to 48 hours of each other. Could he have been kidnapped? Could someone have forced him to write the note that was found in his vehicle? I mean, due to this theory, there's also the possibility that Derek Lukien isn't even inside of the national park, that you know, someone could have taken him away, or, I don't know, it's a little baffling that somebody went missing literally the day after he went missing, in the same exact area, essentially. Like, I don't know, that just makes me think of some kind of foul play. Like, okay, so obviously Derek is a grown man, but I mean, like, it was dark out. Maybe he wasn't super aware of, you know, people in the area, just assuming that they would have all been there for fun. But I mean, I, as a woman, wouldn't go into a national park parking lot at 4 something in the morning and, like, not check my surroundings before getting out of the vehicle. You know what I mean? I don't know.
It's just a distinct possibility, I think, that someone found Derek. Do you know what I mean? I don't feel like you would necessarily spend that kind of money and get all of that kind of gear to just leave it in the car. But that's, I don't know, that's just me. And, you know, I assume not that many people care what I think about it, you know, theories. So, those are the theories. So there's that. Derek's family still hopes to find out what happened to their son, and brother. They still maintain his Facebook page, which has very little on it now and is quite sad to look at. There's a separate Find Derek Luking page on Facebook that they have, and that is also incredibly sad. To see that their lives keep, you know, moving forward as they should, obviously. But to know that they have that like longing and that just pang of missing him while trying to continue to live, it's just kind of very sad. They still have all of his belongings and they store them for him should he come home at some point. If anyone has any information about Derek's disappearance, anything at all, please call the National Park Service at 828-497-1940. For reference, Derek is 5'10 to 6 feet tall, weighing between 215 and 225 pounds. Derek has hazel eyes and medium brown hair. He also has a tattoo on his chest. I believe it's a Chinese symbol. Don't shoot me if I'm wrong. But the meaning is meant to be life or live. He was last seen wearing a gray hoodie, dark track pants with a white stripe down the side, dark sneakers, and a weatherproof watch. Sadly, Derek is one of only 5 missing people in the Great Smoky Mountain National Park to have never been found. I really hope his family gets some answers and some closure one day, preferably sooner versus later. Yeah, if you know anything at all, please contact somebody, because they're going through, you know, birthdays, holidays, life events, births, and wondering what happened to their son or where he's at or if he's okay. And I don't know, I just feel like if somebody has information as a human being, you should share that with his family so they can have some kind of peace. And I guess on some level, I foolishly want to believe that everyone will do the right thing eventually, even if they didn't at first. Okay. Well, I hope you enjoy this episode. You can follow my Instagram page at Eerie Podcast Hattie to see photographs of Derek in case anyone, you know, might have an idea or be curious about maybe they saw him. You can email me at eeriepodcast@gmail.com. I would love to share your personal ghost stories and strange events. I believe I'm going to be doing an episode shortly of some of the strange things that have happened to me, and I would love to share anything that you would like to get off your chest about spooky things or things nobody else believed. You can purchase merch from my Etsy store. I've got lots of fun shirts, hoodies, mugs, blankets. Yes, there's a tote bag that I would call like a library bag, but it's just like a canvas bag with stuff on it, so that's pretty cool. If you would like to support the show in a monetary fashion, You can sign up at patreon.com/eeriepodcast. We have lots of extra information and different videos on there. And last of all of the announcements, I am in the running for the Inked Magazine Cover Girl contest. So if you wouldn't mind voting for me, I truly appreciate it. I will include the link for that in the episode description. Anywho, I hope you all keep it creepy. I'll speak to you next time, and I hope you enjoyed the show. Yeah, I think that's it. Bye!